Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Yeah. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the show where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, and all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today is the fantastic comedian, writer, musician, Nick Thune. He's been a frequent guest on The Tonight Show, and his comedy specials are divine. Nick Thune, folk hero, good guy, and Thick Noon. Watch them as soon as possible. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I have a bone to pick here that I've been holding in.
Okay.
There was an episode we did with Paul F. Tompkins where we talked extensively about LaCroix. And I spoke about my least favorite LaCroix flavor.
Yes.
And it was key lime.
Is it really?
It grosses me out to no end.
Why is that?
It just tastes artificial. It tastes gross. And you came in here and you were given the choice of many LaCroix, including Pamplemousse.
Which I think is so overrated. Oh, and I have a tattoo of grapefruit on my chest.
Wow.
Like I have my ideal breakfast, which is cigarettes and a half-cut grapefruit.
Oh, my God.
In a window.
This is amazing. Nick actually has a tattoo. We'll post it on the gram, hopefully, of his favorite breakfast on his right boob.
Yeah.
Is that still your favorite breakfast?
Yeah. I mean, it's my favorite thing to have is a half grapefruit. I love grapefruit.
And a cigarette?
I quit, but...
Do you like the half
never
grapefruit?
Never too far away from them, to be honest.
Do you like the half grapefruit with the crusty
serrated
sugar
spoon
shit on it?
Had that? That's what I had when I was. That's how I started having it when
really?
I was a child. But to me it has to have a serrated spoon, and it was what my grandmother had all the time. My grandma Fern, and I just really ended up to like. I like food. I like things that a lot of people don't like. I think most people don't just like to eat grapefruit.
Yeah.
I love it. I love grapefruit. I love things like that.
I don't mind. I actually like, I never buy a grapefruit, but whenever I have a grapefruit, I'm like, I need to buy more grapefruits.
So you're not in the business, but you walk by the store every now and again.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I also am not a fan of the
store. I own a grapefruit store.
Do you really?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I mean, you know, hypothetically speaking, within this metaphor we're speaking in.
Oh, okay. Got it. Mm-hmm. So how many grapefruits are in your store at a said time?
We're right now at max capacity.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm looking at your fridge, and maybe you don't store them in the fridge, but there's zero grapefruits in the fridge. This is a.
Why would you store a grapefruit in a fridge, by the way?
Should you not?
No.
I store fruit in the fridge sometimes to get so no fruit flies.
People that put apples in their fridge, people that put oranges in their fridge, people that put grapefruits in their fridge are absolute idiots.
We are starting.
I'm just kidding.
But
I do have a thing about putting fruit in the fridge.
Yes, you're not supposed to. I know that. I literally, for me, it's like it becomes fruit fly a little. Tomatoes are a big no-no in the fridge. Mm-hmm. It'll mush them up.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Especially you want to cut them because then we got a mushy tomato. Talk about cutting that thing open.
You know, for someone who's so pretentious about what needs to go into a fridge and what needs to go out of a fridge, you have a pretty Spartan fridge here.
Yeah, it's a young fridge.
This is
gone.
You can see this on the web on the Instagram at @StandUpDan. It's a sad fridge.
Yeah, that fridge should not speak of to me. That's why I text you. I
you did. You did give a disclaimer to the fridge.
I mean, there's bone broth in there.
There is.
There's some. I think up that those are some orange peppers.
Oh yeah, I see that in the. So the peppers get into the fridge.
That's not my fault.
Okay.
My son did that.
Wow.
So everything in that fridge right now is
throwing
revolving.
Your son under the bus.
Yeah. And you can see in the biggest is that cheese drawer. That is basically all Tillamook cheese.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Which Tillamook is the highest selling, I believe, cheese in
It's so good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. But that's so basically everything in there is to make my son a sack lunch here and there.
Tillamook cheese. What are these two soupy things up top there?
Oh, one of those is a lentil soup, I guess.
Okay.
And then the other that I got for dinner the other night.
Right.
Didn't eat it.
Where'd you get it from?
Gelson's.
Got it.
I was just kind of on the go and thought, I could probably take this down pretty quick.
And these two up there? Those are other soups?
That one, the green one?
Yeah.
That is a green Tapatio salsa, I believe.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you've got this.
And then those are bone broth. Those are like those little kind of
looking
things.
And then you've got this the huge box of key lime LaCroix staring at me in the face. I swear to God, the first time I tasted it, I took the box back to Whole Foods and I said, this is not happening.
See, I don't like lime.
Okay.
I don't like the lemon. And Moshe said to me the other day, or
Moshe Kasher.
This is Moshe Kasher, funny comedian, writer, offered me LaCroix maybe a year ago. And he gave me one of these and he said, it's my favorite.
Wow.
And I sapped it. I was looking for to say sip, but in some other way. But
yeah, that's the
I did
past
sap
tense.
It. I sapped it at the
you
moment.
Done sapped it.
And I agreed with him. I liked it. I was sick of the pompamousse. I do like the coconut as well, which again,
oh,
a
wow.
lot of people throw under the bus.
You love all the real polarized. Are you just being counterculture LaCroix?
No, I like the ones that have a little kick in them.
Interesting. What about the weird mixed ones that are like lime and strawberry?
Oh, no, there is one that's good. It's like pear and something. There is a combo that is pretty tasty, actually.
There was a cucumber one that I liked.
I never had that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do like, I mean, it's just, I don't drink alcohol, so this is like a nice, I just like to have LaCroix in the house.
This is your replacement.
Yeah.
Who was sponsored by LaCroix? Eliza Schlesinger mentioned LaCroix in a podcast, and suddenly they just sent her a bunch.
Oh, really?
So if you're listening, LaCroix, or Eliza.
Yeah. Eliza, send me some of your...
some of your leftover LaCroix. So when you're on the road, what's your food life like?
Pretty healthy.
Really?
Yeah, on the road. I mean, there's like things that I have to do in cities that I'm not proud of where I'll say like my healthy choice in a city that doesn't have much would be like Chipotle.
Okay.
But not like a burrito or anything, just meat.
A bowl?
And yeah, a bowl of, you know, veggies and meat.
Oh, so you're healthy all the time.
Yeah.
You don't give you, I, if I'm on the road, I give myself a little pass.
Well, I mean, last night I had pizza, you know, so I'm not always eating healthy, but I do take care of myself. I try to, I'm 40.
Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking about how
death is imminent.
Yeah. We are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah. For some of us.
Yeah. Not you. You're keeping it together.
No. Yeah, mine's I've already died, actually.
I'm always curious about how, like, musicians back in the day, no one was healthy. They were drinking during the day, during the show.
I mean, that's how I was living for a long time.
Were you really?
Myself, yeah.
Not very sustainable, I imagine.
Very difficult to keep a body up, yeah.
How did they do it? Or did they all just die before they were 30?
Well, at some point you get enough money to where people will help you kind of paddle along. You know, I mean, I know that like even some like the rock stars that have partaken, like Keith Richards or something, they do get like blood infused like things where they get like blood from like 14-year-old kids.
Get
from,
out.
Like Sweden or something.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like once a month, like transfusions or whatever. For a long time, I thought IVs were the thing. So I would be like constantly traveling and drinking and partying. And I would think, okay, if I do an IV, like that just kind of gets me back to ground zero.
Right.
And then I'll go to Austin and then ruin myself again and then continue the, you know, the on
cycle.
And on. Yeah.
I've never done the IV after drinking.
No.
Is it like a,
you know, some people say it doesn't work. I think it's great. I do. I mean, I'm just traveling like in New York. I just got an IV when I was in New York.
Okay.
It's for me too. It's like just hydration because I'm generally just dehydrated, and I try to drink as much water as possible. But especially traveling across the country, your body just it's unhappy.
Yeah, No, I understand that.
And but some people will say it doesn't even hydrate. I mean, who knows? Who knows anything? I know that I do feel better.
Yeah.
You know, and like the glutathione, the things that you get in there that do help with circulation, all these things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never done the IV.
Hmm. I would
I
do
did anything. Have chicken McNuggets the other night, though.
Ooh, that's one of my stories that I was going to tell you about, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, hold on to it.
Yeah.
You're from the Pacific Northwest, though, which to me has a fantastic, really fun food culture.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that growing up at all? Did you spend time in Seattle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was brought up in a very like fish family, like
fish
a lot
family?
Of fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fishing since a very young age, eating what we caught.
Oh, like an actual fishing family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, not like profession, you know, not like getting paid to do it, but
right.
And but you know, most of the time in our garage freezer would be so much salmon that has been caught and saved and smoked salmon and canned and all the stuff. Like we would send salmon off, have it smoked and have it brought back. So even the smoked salmon we were eating was salmon that we had caught.
Wow. Was it sockeye, king, chinook?
All of it. Yeah,
really?
Really, yeah. I one time caught a 32-pound king salmon.
No way.
In Tofina, Canada. It was pretty amazing. I was 14.
No way.
Yeah, I caught a 34-pound. I'm sorry. I caught a 34-pound, and my dad had never caught anything over 30, but he'd caught a lot of fish. And my grandfather one time had caught a 32-pound Chinook in a river. And the story behind that, my dad told me my whole childhood, like how long it took him to get it in. He was alone.
That's so crazy.
It took like 5 hours to catch that fish.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So now you're 14 and you have a 34-pound one.
34-pound, yeah, that we caught trolling, you know, off the coast of Canada.
Holy shit. That's like, first of all, that's like a $1,000 fish.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah, yeah.
King salmon is the most expensive salmon. It's like $25 a pound. It's fucking delicious.
And it's just, yeah, and when you get it, especially like up in Tofino, like this is places where people buy their fish from.
Yeah.
You know? This is where you're getting your fish when you're in L.A.,
the first time I ever tasted salmon for the first time was in Seattle at a restaurant. I'd never had king salmon before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'd never tasted anything like it. It's like salmon butter.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a second. Back to Nick Thune.
It's funny, like I was a very picky eater growing up, partially because of being force-fed at a young age.
Uh-huh.
So there was kind of an authority thing with food,
right?
I believe that was going on. I was at one point sent to a food psychologist.
No, you weren't.
What is a food psychologist?
And we need to get one on the air.
Yeah, I was seven, and I wouldn't eat. I was five, I think, actually. And yeah, because my brothers weren't born yet, so I was four or five, I guess. And I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't eat McDonald's. I wouldn't eat anything. And go to this food psychologist, and basically what they established right away was if he doesn't eat his dinner, it's his breakfast. This is like real. And if he does, then he gets a toy or a prize or something. And so the first thing my mom, who's pregnant with twins, takes me to McDonald's and tells me that if I eat the chicken McNuggets, I will get the watch.
Okay.
That came in the Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Ate the chicken McNuggets, handed the watch, and then immediately vomited across the table onto her pregnant stomach all of the chicken McNuggets.
No.
And immediately taken the watch. She took the watch away. And the really come, you know, circle on that one for me is that my son's first Happy Meal, he got a watch. There was a watch in it. Just totally, like, on the road in Oregon, driving through, and just like, wow, it's a watch.
Oh,
wow.
My God. Did you have, like, a Pavlovian response and just vomit all over him?
It was such a weird, actually, diarrhea. Blamed it on him, too.
I eat McDonald's once a year, I'd say. Once a year or once every 2 years. And two nights ago, I had McDonald's. I was with a buddy of mine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a late-night meal. And I am so annoying when I order my McDonald's my one time a year, because I'm just like, guys,
you're gonna do it right.
I was like, I never come here. I want a fresh batch of fries. I want that chicken McNugget. I want the freshest chicken McNugget, so 1 year old in the freezer instead of the 3 year old ones, and just make this and they treat it. You know, I think they get it. They get excited about
this.
It.
This is the staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
at the drive-thru. You know, I'm yelling this into the microphone. And it you know, I'm like, give me that fucking farm-to-table McDonald's the way that God intended for
it. And do you get like a traditional, like a Big Mac or a quarter pounder? Do you?
I do your vomit meal. I do a 6-piece chicken tenders with French fries.
That's all you do?
No watch. That's all I do.
Chicken tenders or chicken nuggets?
I like the nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they healthified them. Like, I think there was a real image problem with chicken nuggets because there was some show that this chef had. What's that hot chef from?
Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, Jamie Oliver. That's all I had to say was, what's that hot chef? And Andrew knew. Jamie Oliver had this show that he would, like, you know, show you how fast food was made, and he showed how a chicken McNugget was made.
Yeah, and then that was proven wrong, though, right?
Was it?
The, like, food, like, the pink stuff, like,
yeah,
coming
the slurry.
Out. Yeah, that wasn't real.
Really? Tell me.
No, there's some, I mean, you could, like, go down some sort of a Google dive and find that there was a video circulating of how chicken nuggets are made, and it was false.
Well, he just took a blender and threw in a bunch of chicken carcasses and then, like, added some shit to it and then, like, created the slurry. And he was asking these kids, he's like, do you guys still want to eat this? And they're like, yeah, we still want chicken McNuggets.
No, I think, yeah, it's whatever. There was a video that, like, showed, like, a mass process, and that wasn't chicken McNuggets.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it.
It's like the Planned Parenthood video where they're like, it was somebody falsified it. Probably the same people. Probably, and I'd hate to say it, but Obama.
You know, all things
go
back to Obama. I think that because of that, though, because of the Jamie Oliver thing, or maybe because of this debunked video, they had an image problem with the chicken nuggets, and they created chicken tenders that are actual chicken strips.
Yeah.
Which, in my mind, it's like, go big or go home.
I know. They're just going to be constantly fighting this image problem.
Yeah.
Because they're McDonald's.
Yeah.
But the thing
they made
is,
salads. That was very funny with the salads.
I travel around the world, and McDonald's, no matter where you are, at 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning, a McDonald's is full of people that need McDonald's.
Oof.
They don't care how it was made. They don't care who's got their hands on it in the back. They don't want to wake up with as bad of a hangover as they're assuming they're going to get.
I wish we could overlay the Star Spangled Banner over that last little
bit. We've got children.
And the rockets.
I mean, I recently was filming a movie in Vancouver, and it was a night shoot, and I had to start, like, walking down this block.
Yeah.
And I started in front of a McDonald's in, like, the hottest place in Vancouver you could be for, like, nightlife.
Yeah.
And I had to start my scene off there every time. It took, like, 3 hours to do this, like, walking, talking ordeal.
Yeah.
And I just could not believe the nightlife in a McDonald's. And the staff, it's just, it's hard. It's hard on them.
Yeah, it must be.
The worst one I've ever seen was in San Francisco. I saw, like, 2 fights inside, 1 outside. And the staff are just dead in the eyes.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with these night people. It's almost probably a lot like Uber drivers past midnight, where it's like, oh, God.
I think there was actually something I read recently. First of all, if you're very bored and you have nothing to do, just Google McDonald's fights. Very entertaining. For a little bit, but they changed the law, I think there was a protest of the
these
employees.
Are all just Norm McDonald fighting people.
That's my Norm McDonald. I think a bunch of workers are protesting to make the counter, like, longer or thicker, so that people can't jump over it and grab them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, well,
and now they have the whole computer system, you know, where you're lining up and you can order your stuff just without talking to a person.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The last time I saw that in London.
Yes, because the one thing that was lacking from McDonald's was efficiency.
Yeah, well, this is like, hey, we don't want to talk to you guys. Okay?
One nothing.
You can personalize it all the way through.
What point do you have to be at to start fighting with the McDonald's person because your order came out wrong?
I know, and it works out better, too, for, like, people that, like, don't have the money to order. Like, they order their food, and they're like, hey, would you mind running your card in there and getting this meal for me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good God.
Oh, man. We're definitely going to McDonald's after this.
I do have a bit of a McDonald's club, by the way, where every year or a couple times a year, I try to introduce somebody new that's never, like, had a Big Mac.
Oh, really? So you're not you don't not eat McDonald's anymore?
I don't eat it. I mean, Like if my friend Andre called me, Andre Highland, I don't know if you know Andre.
No,
he'll say like Big Macs next week and say, all right, yeah, let's make a date out of it. And we'll go and just order Big Macs, sit inside a McDonald's and enjoy a Big Mac.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good burger.
Look, there's a reason that billions of them have been sold.
I prefer Quarter Pounder, to be honest, but we just get the same thing. But I did do a tour as well with Michael Ian Black, and we were driving together, just him and I, in a van between these cities, and we made it a thing every day that each one of us was going to introduce another person to a fast food that we're not really that crazy about.
Fun.
And we're talking like $40 to $50 bills. Like we would just go in. Like I don't like Taco Bell. I've never really eaten it. I didn't grow up. Like all my friends did, but I never really did.
Yeah.
And he took me into a Taco Bell and he ordered, I think, about $40, $50 worth of the things that he thinks represent Taco Bell.
First of all, that's the whole inventory of a Taco Bell.
Yeah, they actually had to call another store. And we sat at the table and just taste tested the menu, essentially. And we talked about it and got in the car and talked about it. And, you know, that was a way that we were passing our drive. It was fun.
What did you think about Taco Bell?
You know, he was just like, you just have to, he's like, the bean and cheese burrito, I just want you to have that, you know? And so I had to eat that. And he just, it's the simple things that he liked about Taco Bell, this, you know, the thing. Anyway.
I actually, my favorite drunk food might be Taco Bell. There's something about, especially there's the one where they have the, this is how I always have to drunkenly try to explain it at Taco Bell. Like, it's the one that has the hard and the soft over it.
Gordito or something?
I think it's the gordito. Oh.
Well, what about that? My favorite drunk is Jack in the Box.
I've never been to Jack in the Box.
What a lot of people don't know about everything on the Jack in the Box menu is you can order it with sourdough.
Huh.
So you can just say and make it with sourdough, and it's toasted sourdough buns. Because the sourdough Jack is, I think, one of the most crucial drunken things ever. But also what comes into it as well are the tacos, the two tacos for 99 cents. And these tacos continually surprise people. I've done this thing where a friend of mine was like in the recording studio, and I was like, oh, I'll stop by. And her whole band was in there. And I just, there's a Jack in the Box across the street. And I was like, oh, I know how to make all new best friends. And I just ordered 30 tacos.
Wow.
Put them in, walked into the thing. None of them had ever had them. And then the text I got later was like, we need more. We can't believe that. They're the best. They're the most simple, hard shell tacos. The most basic meat, cheese, lettuce, some tomatoes.
Wow. I love that you treat fast food restaurants like Costco's. You're like, you go in and you spend like $70.
Oh, you know a great birthday thing I've done before? I did this for a friend, and then now I've heard that a lot of people took my thing. One time I like didn't get my friend a birthday present.
Uh-huh.
On my way to his house, and I pulled in and I just ordered a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke. And I walked in and it was about 11:30. I knew he was going to be drunk. I knew that everybody, and I say, hey man, happy birthday. And everybody was like, are you kidding me? That is the best gift I've ever seen anybody walk into a party with.
That is amazing.
Just a Big Mac. Happy birthday,
fantastic.
Man.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And was there food at the party or no?
It was no, just... and he not only was he eating it, everybody was getting a bite. Everybody was standing around it. And I know people from that party have since done that.
That is a move.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic food. I might have to steal that move.
Yeah.
Is Jack in the Box worth having if I've never had it in my life?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do I get?
Sourdough Jack.
Sourdough Jack.
Sourdough Jack. I would try the I would get the tacos as well.
Okay.
The jalapeno poppers are something special.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I guess it's the cream cheese and the jalapeno that really kind of is the only way to explain it.
You know, it's
and the way that they pop.
It's a. So you're just describing what a jalapeno popper is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is a ratio thing with the good jalapeno popper. You don't want it to have too much cream cheese in it.
Yeah, no, this is a good combo.
It's a good.
And I mean, first of all, cream cheese could be basically put into anything. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, like a French onion dip.
Like a spoon.
Yeah.
And into my mouth.
Or into a spoon.
We'll be right back.
One time my friend had this gorgeous English bulldog and it was like time to go. I mean, it was going to die. And so we went to In-N-Out,
uh-huh.
And we got just a full double-double fries, cheese fries, and just put them on the ground in the kitchen and watched this glorious moment. Like, you know, this is like an hour before taken to be put down.
Oh, my God.
Because of issues that we couldn't control.
How special.
And just, oh God.
That's how I want to go.
And then, but the thing is I wonder if somebody would say, like, actually, that was probably worse for the dog. I don't know. But it was, you know, who it was actually good for was the dog's owner, because he felt like he was doing something. At
yeah.
The end, like something, breaking the rules, being a little naughty.
I think that's how I want to die. Someone just put an in and out on the hospital floor.
I heard one time, I heard two kids. I was at a playground, usually what I like to do.
Yeah.
With my son.
This is before you had children, yeah.
And I was standing, and there were kids, like, hiding under this area, and there's, like, two boys. And one of them goes, how do you want to die? And he goes, lava. And then he goes, how about you? And the other one goes, in a video game.
Cool. Those are cool.
Good for you guys.
That's pretty cool.
Me?
How do you want to die?
Asphyxiation. Yeah. I thought drowning or I don't know.
Really?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That would be the last way I'd want to go.
You know, it would actually be the only way I would like to drown is if somehow I could get to the deepest part of the ocean that wouldn't explode my brain.
Okay.
And just let me go.
Huh.
And okay. So, like, it's not like I'm, like, close to the top and I think I'm going to make it. It's yeah. Like, hey, we're going to die down here. Soak it up.
It would be a good album cover pick as well.
Yeah.
Just, like, sort of like the Nevermind Nirvana, but not really.
Yeah, with a bigger dick, obviously.
Right. Huge dick, exploding brain. Okay, we're going to do some rapid-fire questions, although I don't know why I call them rapid-fire questions, because there's no rush. But some questions. Some normal... normal tempoed questions.
I'm going to skip this really horrible joke that I just thought.
What? No, please.
Well, I did see this dumb thing lately, recently, where they were like, here's the kid from the Nevermind cover now.
Oh, yeah. He like goes to your party or whatever.
But they didn't show his dick. And I just thought, that's really the only then and now I'm really curious in seeing. And I wonder if they could do some, you know how they're like, when someone's like lost for 10 years and they're like, this is what they would look like now.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done some sort of like aging process on his dick.
To right. Be
like, well, this is what we think it would look like.
Right.
But
if they could do that, like that little old person app that we have now. Just pointed at his dick. That would be hilarious, taking a picture of your dick on the old person app. I'm curious if it... okay. What is your earliest food memory?
It really is that chicken nugget
story.
Moment.
That yeah. is a that's gonna be my new oldest food memory. Yeah. That is wild.
And I also do remember these peanut butter sandwiches that my grandma would make, and this is how I make my son's, just so that he likes my sandwiches a little better than he likes his mom's.
Okay,
is just a little bit of butter before you put the peanut butter on it, and that's
nice.
How my grandma did it.
That's a good cheat.
Yeah, because it just you just take a bite and you're like, why is this one better than all the other ones?
Is she European?
She's Norwegian.
But, she was okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was a Norwegian thing.
I just know like if you go to like in France, they'll do like a sandwich with like
just butter.
But it'll be like butter and then prosciutto.
Yeah.
Like well, butter is just the base.
There's actually a great sandwich at Proof Bakery in Atwater Village. Their sandwiches at lunch. If you've ever, never had them, you should.
That place is a fantastic bakery.
It's a great bakery, and their sandwiches, they're available at noon, not even a minute earlier, and then they sell out generally pretty quickly, but they do butter on the thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's cultured butter, it's not really that bad for you.
Right. No, I mean, none of that stuff's bad for if you don't eat
it
like a monster.
Butter. Yeah.
We're just in America, we're like, what can we get away with eating as much as we want all the time and still
sugar.
Lose weight?
Yeah. Everyone tries to somehow fit sugar in.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the worst thing.
I think my dad lived in Switzerland for a while. He does, he'll do a sandwich with butter and cheese.
Yeah.
That's his base.
That's great.
I love the,
yeah.
But that's a good cheat. Do you tell your wife or you just do it and you're like,
no, I just kind
of somehow become the rock star of the family.
Yeah, just it's like a little secret. Also, he knows that there's going to be like notes in there.
Notes?
Yeah, like when I do the lunch, there's notes. I leave a note.
Oh, you leave a note?
Yeah, but. And then one time I didn't because I was in a hurry and he was like, hey, Dad, you forgot to, later that day, he was like, you forgot to put a note in there.
You're like, hey, kid, that's the icing on the cake. Don't get used to that stuff.
I did one time write a note in there that was just for the teacher because I know that he's handing them to somebody else to read. He can't just, he's six. He can't read them on his own. And I just wrote on it, I farted.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I did also for a long time send my son before he was, when I found out that I was going to have a kid, I was touring a lot. And so up until his birth, And I think even into like the year or two of his life, I would send postcards from cities that I was in.
Oh, nice.
That were like, hey, buddy, I'm in Denver. You're born yet. Maybe you're not born yet. Just hydrate when you're in cities with high altitude. You know, just like little tips for life that you can.
Look at you living in your own little indie film. What a charming thing to do.
Well, I mean, what if you grew up and you're like, hey, here's 1,000 postcards your dad wrote for you around the world when he was a touring comedian.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you mean the best thing in the world to ever give someone?
Yeah, no, my dad just traveled a lot for work and I didn't see him a lot when I was growing up and I got no postcards from it. I just got a shitty sandwich with butter and cheese. Thanks, Dad. What is your death row meal?
You're about to get executed. I've thought about that and somebody asked me that recently. Honestly, just give me some cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Food for me, like, okay, I love eating and I've had...
And you'd eat the cigarettes or you'd light them up and smoke them?
Just eat them.
Sauteed cigarettes.
Just let me smoke. Yeah, I would rather be sitting and smoking and thinking than like, God, I'm thinking about like this food. Like, okay, so I'm going to eat this and what? I'm just going to like immediately shit it out into my pants in front of all these people.
Right. as the electricity courses through my body.
I think I would starve myself for days before that. But I do have the thing, like, what's the point? Like, I don't know what the point is in eating at that point.
Oh, wow. You're taking this way too literally.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay, so if you're going to say, like, hey, what's your favorite meal that you would like to have? Death row's not involved.
right.
Then I would be like, oh, yeah, like deep dish pizza. Like a real good deep dish pizza. Like,
really?
Like, I had this thing about melted cheese when I was growing up. Like, first of all, cheese is my favorite thing.
Okay.
Out of every
Got it.
Food.
Out of every food group.
And melted cheese is just fantastic. I mean, from the child's quesadilla up to whatever the, you know, what's the dipping into, whatever.
Oh, like a cheese dip? Queso fundido?
Or like a cheese curd.
Okay,
I mean, again, some of the best things ever made. But, you know, everything that you see melted cheese on is just a melted cheese vessel, as far as I'm concerned. Because you can't just serve somebody melted cheese with a spoon and a cup and be like, here you go, here's melted cheese. So we got to put it on shit, whatever. What do you have? Tortillas? All right, melt it up. Yeah.
Perfect.
You're not tasting the tortilla. You want the cheese.
Have you ever had raclette?
I don't know.
Nick Thune, I'm about to change your life.
Okay.
Raclette is a Swiss dish. It's like an Alpine dish. They have it in the winter, you know, after it's an après-ski thing a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, they have the special cheese called raclette cheese, which melts amazingly well.
Okay.
And they have, it sounds very simple, boiled potatoes. Small, little baby, you know, sometimes a fingerling, sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, and you smash the potatoes and they have this, imagine a half a wheel of this cheese mm-hmm. with a heat source on top of it. And as it melts, they scrape the top right onto your potatoes.
Oh.
And a lot of cracked pepper.
Potatoes are so, I mean, that's another one of my favorite things that you can do a lot with.
Oh my God, you need to have raclette. It's like made for you.
Okay.
I don't. You,
when
need
you
to...
just said cheese too. I there's a cheese I want to promote on here.
Please, please.
It is a white gold cheddar.
Oh, that's what it's called.
And it's from Eastern Washington.
Okay.
And it's the what is the Eastern Washington football team? It's the
the Spokane
something. It's over there, but it's like, it's their cheese, and you can order it, and it's so good. It's the best. Randy Lickey is actually the one that turned me on to it, and Randy's a good food guy. White gold, and it's from whatever city the Eastern Washington College is in. It's not the Huskies.
What kind of cheese is it?
Just a white gold cheddar.
Oh, it's a cheddar.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. America is having such a cheddar moment right now.
Yeah.
We're having a cheese moment in general. We're having a food moment
least,
in general.
What's
but
your least favorite cheese?
My least favorite cheese? I'm going to have to say I've never been a fan of string cheese. Mm. I'm a string cheese guy. I don't like the little cheeses in the red,
those
little
are in
circle
my
thing.
Right there. My son loves.
Oh, really? Yeah. I hate them. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. What's your least favorite?
Well, I would say Gouda,
mm-hmm.
but two bites into Gouda, I like it. It's just I would say like off the first bite, I'm like, oh, this isn't my favorite. The smokiness, it's not really like.
Right.
I don't like look for this in a cheese.
It grows on you.
It does grow on
it's
you.
Someone
though.
Who's really ugly but has a great personality.
And I'm gonna eat it. Yeah, I'm gonna eat it for sure. I love goat cheese though. Oh my gosh. And yeah. Every time I order goat cheese, I'm like, oh, someone's being healthy. I'm like, well, that's a bonus for sure. But yeah, it's
wait, who associates so goat cheese with being healthy?
It's healthy.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like if you're lactose intolerant,
oh, goat cheese is
good for you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sustainable or whatever.
You fuck with goat milk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's funky. So you like funky flavors.
I like to drink milk. You saw there's milk in my fridge. Yes. I like to, and that's whole milk.
Yes. And that is, in LA especially, it's an anomaly. We don't see it as much.
Whole milk is, so the best thing that's served in a milk carton, milk.
Yeah.
The worst thing served in a milk carton, Goldfish crackers, which are still good. They're the best cracker that's served in a milk carton. But they serve those also in a full gallon-sized milk carton.
Yeah.
Like something that milk would blow the bottom out of.
Yeah,
I don't know what made me think of this, but I love a Goldfish cracker, but what kind of, I know like Pringles, like, oh, put it in a tennis cartridge.
Yeah. You
know, what's the story behind that? We don't know. The tennis factory burnt down and
we just have we have all this extra. We got to unload these extra tennis cartons.
How do we maximize space inside these? I guess make them a little like a hook or a whatever.
There's someone who made billions of dollars off of that idea.
Yeah.
Turn it into a hook.
Whatever, yeah. And the Goldfish crackers too. But
by the way, can I re-answer your question about my least favorite cheese?
Yeah.
Because I don't like cheese on stuff like Doritos, Goldfish.
You don't like nacho cheese Doritos.
I don't like, I don't like the powder cheese kind of, I don't know, just the cheese cracker.
So you don't like a Cheeto?
I hate a Cheeto. I can't fuck
with that. I really wanted to get a deal with Cheetos because, I did like do a voiceover read and not get it for a commercial, but I love Cheetos and my son loves Cheetos. And his mom does not like Cheetos. And so they were like, hey, if you know, this was more than a voiceover. They're like, hey, maybe you can also, if you have a pitch for Cheetos, you know, to go with this commercial. And my whole pitch is like my secret moment with my son is when I pick him up and there's a bag of Cheetos in his seat. And it's like the only thing he won't tell his mom about.
Right.
I mean, everything else he'll tell his mom about. Like, I took him to ice cream, you know, like, hey, maybe don't tell your mom about the ice cream. It's like, it's going to happen. A new joke actually came out of that where I say, you know, if you tell your mom, you know what they say if you tell your mom about the ice cream is that loose lips sink ships.
Right.
And he said, well, what does that even mean? And I said, well, it's the story of this guy, Christopher Columbus, a long time ago, set sail, found America. That's where you were born and you live, coincidentally. But what people don't know is there was another ship that left before him. And they didn't make it, though, because the captain of the ship told his mom about the ice cream and everyone fucking died. So loose lips sink ships, buddy.
Oh, okay, Dad. He's like shitting his pants.
The one thing I don't like about Cheetos, though, is the aftermath of the fingers, because I'm a big manners guy. If we're going to really get into food and eating and everything,
same.
I am very big on manners. People that ever touch their fingers to their mouth, the sound of it really gets me, but it's just disgusting. And it's sick to me that they would think that that's okay to do around people. To suck things off fingers is absolutely... I have like best friends that I just won't eat with.
Wow.
Because at one point my therapist was like, listen, Nick, this is your problem. Okay. Your problem is that you don't like it when people talk with their mouth full and they chew with their mouth open. You don't like the noises. You don't like that. You don't like it when they suck their fingers. You can't push that on anybody. And if you try to, then they will feel uncomfortable around you all the time. Anytime they do something like, did that bother Nick? Does Nick get bothered by this? So you need to wear that and make good life choices. So your life choices, you don't eat with that person. That's it. You can meet them for a game, a drink. You don't eat with them.
So you've
you're
done
managing
this.
Your pain without putting it onto them.
I kind of love this therapist. I agree. I hate when people talk about like poop and shit like that while I'm eating. Mm. I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
And I have friends who are just like, dude, what's wrong with you? Like, you just fucking get disgusted by just chill out. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I have a fucking visceral, disgusting reaction to shit while I'm eating food. Just don't talk about shit.
Is it all the time that you have kind of a like?
No, just when
are you a big potty talk guy? Like, in
no,
bed?
I'm not. I'm
in
not.
In bed or maybe in the bathroom or.
No, I mean, look, I will eat while I'm shitting. I'm not an animal, but
while I'm shitting, open discussion. I will talk about it.
Everyone can come in. The door's open.
Any questions anybody has?
Yeah, no, I can't deal with it. But I feel like if I started cutting people out that bother me like that, I would have no friends to eat with anymore.
You know what? People like, so people get little.
My girlfriend's gluten free, and that's totally my thing. Andrew gives me shit for this too, but that's totally my thing. Of like, I get embarrassed a little, like when we're at a restaurant and she orders, and she's so like, you know, specific about it. Mind you, she does actually get sick if she has it.
I have a friend that's allergic to eggs.
Yeah,
and
fuck
eating
you.
With him
fuck
is
you, dude.
So difficult. And he knows it, and he has his own ways of doing it. And,
yeah.
But it's tough. Whenever you have to ask for anything special from any like server, anything appetite based, or I mean,
allergy based,
yeah. Especially if it's an allergy that's got a little bit of faux pas to it, like gluten free, where you're like, yeah, but you could still eat it, right? You're just going to have a tummy ache like every fucking human. Oh, and you're going to get gas like we all do? Okay, cool. Yeah. Is it going to kill you? Oh, it's not. Got it. You're just, okay. Got it.
Oh,
you're afraid of gaining weight.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're on a diet. Okay.
Great. I don't like eating pasta because I feel like, I just feel bloated. I don't feel like moving afterwards. Yeah, it's pasta. Mm-hmm. You factor that in when you eat your pasta.
God, I had a rigatoni the other day that, whew.
What did it do to you?
I mean, I didn't feel great.
Yeah.
The amount that I ate.
You're not supposed to.
You know, I mean,
you're not supposed to like eat a fucking bolognese and go run a fucking marathon.
You have to be aware of what you're eating and what that just does to any normal human at your age, to your body, and decide, do I want to put up with this for a little bit or not? I mean, drinking is worse for anybody in the world. Drink alcohol and sugar are the worst things for your body.
Right.
It's an absolute poison.
Yeah. It's literally poison.
People do it knowing they're going to feel like absolute dog shit the next day.
Yes.
And they minimize or they find a way to make it work within their... They're aware of it. They've got to be. It's not like they wake up and they're like, God damn it.
Right. No. We have selective short-term memory loss. I thought you were going to go back to they go to McDonald's late at night and I was going to start the Star-Spangled Banner again.
Well, that's when diets go out the window. Alcohol, too.
I mean, oh, absolutely. Killer. You must have lost a lot of weight when you stopped drinking.
Yeah, I mean, I also was just drinking, not eating as much.
Oh, so, okay.
Now, when you get to a certain point of drinking, it's like eating is tough. Like,
these calories are great.
Yeah, I don't want anything that affects my body enjoying this alcohol.
Right.
I don't want anything in the way right
now. My body's a temple for this fucking Jack.
We'll get back to Nick right after this, but first, grapefruit is a relative newcomer to the fruit game. It wasn't discovered until the 17th century, and it was an accidental cross between an orange and a pomelo. So, if you're a human, please practice safe sex. But if you're a fruit, go raw dog blueberries and apples and let us eat your delicious blapples. All right, back to the show.
What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
Eugene Merman took me to this place in Boston, and I don't remember. The guy was, you know, Ms. Michelin Ray. He was like, he won an award, a beard, whatever that's called.
James Beard Award.
Yeah. And I do remember the one thing that we ate that I just thought, there's no way in fucking hell this is going to be good. And then I loved it. Was just a quail. It was a spoon that cost like $100. And it was just one spoon.
Right.
That had like a quail egg in it and then something else. You know, like a raw quail egg or whatever.
Okay.
And there were like a couple other ingredients in it, and it was just one bite, $100.
Oh, it actually costs $100.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said like.
And they serve it to you on a spoon. Like, it's here's your spoon.
Was it truffles on it?
There must have been some truffle in there. Yeah. And it was fantastic.
Wow.
The worst thing in my life that I've ever eaten is balut.
What is that again?
That is a Filipino delicacy.
Okay.
It's a raw, or it's an unfermented or fermented like duck egg.
Oh, is that the thing that like, it's actually like it's not like an egg. It's like a, it's like a fetus.
Yeah. And what they do is they crack the top and they drink it, the juice. And then they slowly peel it and eat it like a bite. Like, and there's a beak in it. There's like things like that. And,
wow.
And, I was in a place in the Philippines where I was told that if you don't eat it when it's offered, it's a huge, like you just stand. It's the biggest insult, right? And then afterwards, I realized that Filipinos don't even eat it. No, it's absolutely a way for them to watch a foreigner think that they're doing something that they're not.
Oh, like, my God.
That they don't really have to do.
And you did the whole thing?
I mean, I think I made it through a couple bites, and you're like, you're fine, you're fine. And then they laughed, and they're like, you don't actually have to eat that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
fucking
like gagging, you know, like gagging. That's I used to be a real texture person, and textures would make me kind of gag.
Oh, really? No mushrooms?
I love mushrooms.
Oh, because a lot of texture people don't like mushrooms. The sponge.
I'm not anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not anymore. There's really nothing anymore that I would not eat.
Nothing.
I would really eat anything.
My only thing, which I think you'll probably adopt it after I tell you, is like endangered animals.
Yeah.
I won't do an endangered species. I would do literally anything else.
Okay. Yes. I'm saying I will draw the line and I will not eat an animal that is endangered. However, I would eat it.
Yes.
I'm saying that just like I'm over any type of like taste or flavor or thing. I'm willing to try it.
Yes. The grossest thing, apparently, I've never had it, but the thing that everyone is just viscerally, although that's what you just described, seems like it's probably up there. But in Iceland, they have like a fermented shark thing that they do that is just supposed to be the most rancid tasting thing in life. I'd give it a shot, though.
Yeah. Is it like a shark?
It's like the cubed shark meat that they ferment.
Right. I mean, it can't be like any different than Spam.
Fish, man, something about fish funk, though.
I know. And
is a special kind of funk.
Yeah, and fermenting things, too, has kind of got its own little thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I take to a grimy kind of salty, like oysters, like that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I've been known to get sick from and also just pull an oyster out of the water and go.
Yeah. Wow.
Like there. And that... And I was trying to be cool, and a guy told me, like, you're fine. It's not, they won't do anything. But then it turns out it was a red tide. It turns out it was fully the wrong time to do that.
Red tide is a disease that oysters get that is like, it's just the worst for humans.
Yeah. The nightmares, the what I went through that night, I would not wish upon a person.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Red tide.
Yeah.
It's a great name, too.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking of as the other. When you said something like best ingredient high end meal.
Oh, well, it was just like a sashimi that I had once that was my friend fishes in Alaska, and he brought back like one of the fish, but he had like whatever preparations you put it through, the temperatures you have to have it through and then thaw it to a certain temperature.
Yeah.
And it was like at a friend's bachelor party, and we were like skiing somewhere in Canada, but he brought this like salmon that he had put through the process, and like that night served us just like in a shitty kitchen in a cabin sashimi that was like, I've just never tasted anything better.
I think I love your friends.
Yeah.
Skiing bachelor party with sashimi.
Yeah.
It's like a dream come true.
I know. And he even made like a big whale dick with wasabi and soy sauce.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to,
you know, a little bachelor
party. It's a bachelor party. That's fantastic. What's the best low end meal you've ever had?
Like just something cheap that.
Yeah.
I've had really good street food in like Morocco and places like.
What is the street food in Morocco?
Like in Fez, like lamb, you know, just like things that you're getting that they're just like serving there on the street.
Yeah,
I went to Fez in Marrakesh. I guess now 17 years ago or so, and I had some of the best food. I mean, you know, because they make in Morocco, they make those big bowls that it's like you dip the bread into. It's
tagine.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, what was your favorite drunk food? I guess it was probably that Jack in the Box.
Yeah, Jack in the Box. You know, the best drunk food that I ever had was I was in Austin, and I've eaten at like, I went to like Franklin's Barbecue.
Yeah.
But I was in Austin with other comedians, and we got like the special table in the back. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
It's just like, you know, it was like me and a few other people that we just got to sit at a table in the back.
At Franklin's
and walk through and like see where they cook everything and then also just get everything that they had. And
wow. And Franklin's is known for being the best barbecue in America. Mm-hmm. It's this guy who does like Texas style, mostly beef, but he does
and
everything.
They smoke it. And there's all these new smoking rules that he was telling us about. They have to like smoke outside of town now and all this stuff.
But, oh, bummer.
But, and I've eaten there. I've actually waited in that line twice before that.
Really?
Cause it's just the brisket. I mean,
it's another
otherworldly.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but that day I just was like, wow, we're getting whatever we want here. I just like seriously got a ton of the brisket, everything. And then that night went to some party at like 2 a.m. and had all of it in a backpack and just laid it on a table. And it was just like the best drunken smorgasbord I've ever seen in my life.
You're very fun with food at parties.
That's what makes a party.
The
right?
McDonald's move, the brisket move. I love it.
Another move that I used to pull too is just have a keg sent to a party before I get there. So
get
like
here.
Kyle Mooney had a birthday party once a long time ago, and I sent a keg to the party and then got there, and he was like, "Are you kidding me, man?
What a class act."
Yeah, because it's what, $40? I don't know.
It's such a move.
It literally costs nothing. And now I'm the king of that party.
Wow.
Essentially walking around like, yeah, don't tell everyone I brought it, you know. But yeah.
Why is your name spray painted on the keg, though?
Like, getting a keg is so simple. I mean, it's driving through McDonald's and getting 30 Big Macs is very simple.
It's
all
such
these
a
things
move.
That you can just do and show up.
You should write like a little coffee table book of like moves, like low priced moves.
Yeah.
I like low priced moves.
Mm-hmm.
If like I find out a friend is with his wife and they're going out for their anniversary, I'll low-key ask them, oh, where are you guys going? Then I'll call the restaurant, send over some champagne when they sit down. Low-key.
Oh,
they always
classic.
They never forget it.
You know what? I did this recently. A friend of mine loves Tillamook cheese, and I was driving by her place, and she has a gate and all this shit, and I was just like, I just was like, oh, if I'm here and I was buying groceries, I can just swing by her house, and I just threw three bags of like Tillamook cheese over her fence. And then text her and said later and was like, I go, God, did you see that thing on the neighborhood app? Because we're in the same neighborhood.
Right.
I was like, on the neighborhood app about the cheese things. And she's like, what? And she's like, these guys are like throwing cheese in people's yard and stuff. And I guess, I don't know, it's like some weird cheese prank. And she's still like, it took a day for her to be like, did you just throw cheese out? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, because it's not on the Next Door app. I'm like, I know it's not. Yeah.
What was your favorite hangover food? Did you have one?
An IV.
Oh, an IV, right.
Yeah, but I would do like those breakfast burritos in Atwater at Coronita, is that what it's called?
Yes, the people line up there. I've never had it. It's
also,
got potatoes
though, their tacos are amazing too for the middle of the day. But yeah, that's like a lineup. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's not situation.
Are they good?
So good.
Really?
If you're gonna get the burrito, you have to get the chilaquiles. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, the chilaquiles burrito is the best thing in the world. Yeah,
I need to.
And if you're in Los Angeles, you need to go over there into Atwater.
For
on
sure.
Glendale Boulevard.
Do you have a favorite celebrity chef?
I really like Jazz. I don't know if she's on some shows, but
who is she?
She is the Thai place on
Jitlada?
Yeah, and she's like on some new Netflix show that's coming out, I guess, soon.
Oh no way!
But last time I went in, she like brought me persimmons that she like pulled off her tree, and she has like, and I know her through some other people, so she's always really nice. But,
oh, fantastic! That's a good person to know.
Yeah, I used to get angry at that place when I started there, when I moved here, because it does take a while, and sometimes things are kind of served out of order.
Yeah,
and then when you realize that they're first of all very kind people. That they're doing their best in there. I mean, because it's so good, it's always a line. It's always people. It's always crowded.
I think that's on the sign. It says, Jitlada, we're doing our best.
Yeah. I think it does say that.
What is your desert island food? You're trapped on a desert island. One food you have to eat for the rest of your life.
To be healthy? Or
no,
just that I
don't think about sustenance, not coconut water.
Okay.
You won't get tired of it.
Okay. And I know this sounds dumb because it's also kind of healthy, but my new I love gummies, okay?
Really?
But I really try and stay away from sugar altogether.
Uh-huh.
And there's this gummy that I just can't stop eating. And it's 3 grams.
Haribo?
No, it's that's the most sugar.
Yeah.
It's Smart Snacks.
Okay.
Or Smart Sweets. Smart Sweets.
Okay.
And you get them like at Whole Foods. They're kind of actually getting around a lot of places now, but it's like gummies that are 3 grams of sugar per package.
Wow.
And I actually just started following them on Instagram. But the girl that like is the woman that started it. But she anyway, it's the berry one. It's the blue bags with like the red. They look like Swedish fish.
Okay.
And they are to die for.
Really?
Yeah. The texture, the flavor, everything.
So you're into the gummy fruit stuff.
However, though, I will say this: my favorite candy of every candy is a Scandinavian black licorice.
Okay.
Which, have you ever had that? Like, have you ever been to like Copenhagen? Have you ever had like a Danish black licorice or a Scandinavian black licorice?
Is it like the stuff that they give you after a meal, like a little dime size of it?
Yes. But, and it's really salty.
Yes.
And some people might absolutely gag the second it gets put into their mouth.
It's not sugary at all, right?
No.
Yeah.
Salty, and it's so good. I would have that. I could eat it all day.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I do like these kind of grimy, like...
I think you and I have similar flavor profiles. Like, mm-hmm. I like fish sauce and like weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I love funky flavors a lot.
I remember the first time I had like a beef and broccoli and I was like, on the rice, I was like, put the sauce in the rice. I'm like, what is this? Just like sauce from the meat? And they're like, no, they put fish sauce in there.
Yeah.
In a beef and broccoli.
The best. There's a buddy of mine has a restaurant in New York, which is like one of the best restaurants in New York City, Estella. And he puts fish sauce in his beef tartare.
Do you ever put fish sauce in your pho?
I don't normally get pho.
Okay.
I didn't even know that you can use that as a condiment, though.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Just spray it in there.
Oof.
I get pho because
I don't know why that grossed me out when you said it like that.
I like to get
this picture it coming out of your dick. Like, just
yeah, just, come on, man.
Spray this.
Spray it in. Well, I really like Vietnamese food in general, but yeah. I do love like a brisket pho because they give you the brisket raw.
Yeah.
And then it basically sears in there.
Oof.
And it's so good. But yeah, you got to put fish sauce. I mean, I could really put up like a tutorial of all of the ingredients to add to a bowl of pho that they give you that are there. That
interesting.
You think are for it or not for it on your plate. And it's just really good.
What food can you not stand eating?
Another thing that I just can't ever get over is canned tuna.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a visceral memory. It's this thing of my mom like getting home from school, and my mom had made herself a tuna sandwich, and she had stirred mayo and tuna into a thing, and just the way the house smelled. Yeah. The first thing I would do is run to my room and shut my bedroom door because it would waft into every room of the house.
Right.
And I just remember like opening the window of my room, shutting it, just like, God, then realizing this isn't good airflow though. Now I got to open the door, open up another window upstairs so there's like a cross draft.
Right.
And I've never been able to come back to tuna in a can. I think it's absolutely disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I get it though. I mean, that smell is, when someone's on a plane and they take out their own tuna sandwich,
oh,
I want a refund on my ticket.
I know. The whole plane and food thing, like I've had somebody pull out like a bag of hard-boiled eggs before and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Okay, final question. This is my favorite question, and I have a feeling you'll have a lot to talk about. What is your restaurant pet peeve?
It was happening a bit the other night. It's checking in.
Ah, yes.
It's interrupting conversation.
Yes.
So I'll say this about my father. My dad is a really great storyteller. And when I was young, this is how good of a storyteller he was, is that he would be telling a story to a table of people, and then a waiter would come up and then take an order from like 8 people, interrupting the story.
Right.
Rendering him useless, rendering the story gone.
Right,
basically.
Yeah.
You're not coming back to that story.
You've ruined the whole momentum.
And the waiter takes everybody's order and then leaves, and my dad is still sitting there, and somebody at the table says, Eric, you were saying... That's how good of a storyteller he was. He could make it through that waiter.
Right.
Most people will never get through that waiter
yes.
with their story.
Yes.
And waiters, I'm not saying that there's another way to do it. I'm saying there's a way to take a table's order where it's a private moment between you and each person you're taking the order from, and it doesn't shut the whole fucking table down.
Yeah.
Where you're going around taking it personally from each person. Hey, you guys keep talking about what you're talking about. I'm just going to steal this person for just 30 seconds right now. And to go around the specials, I get it. You have to say them. Find a good, quick way to do it. Because I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to get them.
Right.
I'm pretty sure most people... What do you think the percentage of people that hop on a special is?
Well, it's very hard, especially when the first ingredient they say, you like know that you don't want it, and then you have to hear the whole thing. Like if they're like, oh, yeah. For our special, we have a canned tuna that we serve, and then you have to like listen...
Did you say the fart special?
You have to listen to the whole thing.
I get that... Brody Stevens used to have the funniest bit that he would do at restaurants.
What was
where
that?
He would always order from the busboy. Because they can't take an order.
Right.
But he starts ordering, and it's a bit just for you who's eating with him, because they're gonna have to stop him at some point and be like, "Sir, I don't take orders." But he That's goes fantastic. Right into it, just confidently, won't stop. And oh my God, it would make me laugh so hard every time.
That's so good.
That's the only job I ever had in a restaurant was a busboy, and I quit because I couldn't stand people not looking at me.
Interesting.
And that's a job that just, it's invisible. Like nobody's looking at you.
Yeah.
You're walking around, you don't have food. You're not providing them with anything except for, can I take this from you?
Yeah.
And, you know, I need eye contact. I need personal connection. I also have a problem with people that aren't good to be with in restaurants. Like people that don't know how to talk to waiters.
Yes.
People that aren't nice or kind.
Right.
Because I know that they're working a job. Just like I have to work a job when I do stand up. I have to do this, you know, respect the people that you're working with or working around. Yes. But I had a friend, and this is the epitome of this guy at a restaurant. We're at a restaurant, the waiter's taking everyone's orders, and then he can't decide between the chicken and the burger.
Okay.
And he basically says, either one. Don't tell me which one you're going to pick. Just the chicken or the burger. That's all I want. I don't know which one I want. Don't tell me. Just whatever you pick is going to be fine. The waiter leaves. You can see him over on the computer. They're done. I'm watching this whole thing. Like, this is his last chance to go over there and say what he really wants. And then he goes, you know, oh, sorry, guys, hold on. He gets up and he finds one. He goes, hey, I'm just curious, which one did you put in?
Oh, my God.
And the waiter's like, the chicken. And he goes, I think I want the burger. So now the waiter's got to go back, redo the order because he's now whatever. And it's just this like back and forth. It's like, man, why did you bring us through that ride? Nobody wanted to hop onto that roller coaster. You just made it so difficult for all of us. Oh my God.
Is this Larry David? This sounds like.
Yeah. This guy will pull. This is actually the guy that fed the In-N-Out to his dog. You know, he has like things that he does that you're like, that's a great way to live.
Right.
And then he thought telling the waiter to pick. This is a guy that used to be a waiter at Houston's. I was like, what would you do if someone had sent that to you? You don't care what they're fucking, what they want. Just tell me, man.
Oh man. Do you know what first of all, we're speaking about people who don't know how to talk to people of service. I have a cousin who calls bartenders chief.
Mm.
And I'll be like, dude.
And we're not like on a Native American reservation.
Oh, no. Yeah, we are. Oh, fuck. It does make sense. No, we're not.
Because you know the chiefs always run the bar.
Yeah, exactly. He'll call them chief. I'll be like, dude, please don't do that. He's like, no, man. He's fine. He likes it. Yo, you're okay when I call you chief, right? And the poor guy's like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I know. No one's ever going
to. No one's going to say, no, you
shouldn't.
It's
funny,
do
though,
that.
Too. Like, people's perception of what people like and don't like. I feel very inept and very good at knowing boundaries and knowing what like cutesy things I can get away with that they're going to like
yes.
and what they're not. And anyway, I had, when I was on that tour with Michael Ian Black, my rider is pretty simple. But on my rider is a framed photo of myself in the green room.
Okay.
And there's dimensions and all this stuff. And
wait, how are they going to have the photo of you in the green room?
They're going to have to come up with a photo of me. They're going to have to find a print.
Okay. I thought it was a framed photo, the photo being you in the green room.
Oh, that would be great. Wow, that's another level.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's just a photo of me hung in the green room.
Okay.
As if it's always there.
Love it.
So I feel like, wow, I came in here, this place loves me. And so Michael Ian Black, two shows in the tour, hasn't said anything. And then the third show, we're in Asheville, North Carolina, which has been some of the best food I've ever had, Asheville. And we're in the green room at the Orange Peel. And he goes, why is there always a photo of you on the wall? And I said, well, it's on my rider, along with giving me a pat on the back after soundcheck, telling me everything's going to be okay. And and he goes, they must fucking hate you. Like, they literally hate you that they have to do this. And right as he's saying that, the manager pokes his head and he goes, hey, guys, everything okay? Hey, Nick, what do you think? And he points to the photo. I'm like, perfect. And he goes, man, so funny. The staff love that. And he walks out. And I was like, see, that's where you need to know the boundary. Yes, cutesy, funny thing, but also no one else does it and they like it.
Yeah.
And now Michael's like, well, I guess I got to put that on my rider now.
Do you actually put the pat me on the back and tell me everything's going to be okay?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
You have a
and
fun
I want,
rider.
And I say that I want that from their newest employee.
some poor nervous kid.
Also one Snicker bar.
Yeah.
And honey roasted peanuts.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all on your rider?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
There used to be all of the vodka in the city too, but I took that off.
Really?
Yeah, once I quit drinking.
I only have water and a athletic shorts.
Oh.
From your, usually this was for colleges.
Yeah.
Size small, athletic.
Yeah,
shirts.
I remember Mike Birbiglia used to have the like hooded sweatshirt on his.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. That was amazing. Nick Thune, thank you so much. I had no idea that you were such a huge food guy.
I mean, I'm aware of it.
Yeah. And where can people find you?
Arby's.com. NickThune.com. I am the Nick Thune, the premier Nick Thune that is available for your online searching.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Special thanks to Ernie Hurtado. To see pictures of Nick Thune's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in the episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandUpDan. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.